May the words of my hands and mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is from St. Paul's Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 5, verse 1. For freedom, Christ has made us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Here ends the text. This weekend, our nation again pauses to celebrate Independence Day, the day on which our forefathers declared these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states. It was a declaration that carried a heavy cost. It took the commitment and sacrifice of many people, men and women, in order to secure the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness that they desired. The result of all of this was the birth of a nova constellatio, that is, a new constellation. It was a new nation founded on the Enlightenment ideals of liberty, equality, and justice. Yet the 4th of July is not merely about the Declaration of Independence and the subsequent Revolutionary War. It's not simply a history lesson. It's not simply an excuse to give off fireworks and make noises all night. It's a celebration of the commitment that American citizens of all generations have made and still make to preserve and protect our liberty from enemies, both foreign and domestic. As President Jackson said, "Eternal vigilance by the people is the price of liberty, and that you must pay the price if you wish to secure the blessing." As we celebrate our national independence, our text stands as an important reminder that we, as God's children, ought to be mindful of our greater freedom, the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. For freedom, Christ has made us free. If we believe this is true, then we must also believe that we were at some point and in some way slaves. This truth, that we were slaves, is not understood through the agency of human reason. We don't see shackles on our hands and feet. We don't feel the sting of a master's whip on our backs. Like the Jews in Jesus' day, we can declare that, humanly speaking, we personally were never slaves. The slavery of which Scripture speaks is not obvious. It often masks itself at first as something desirable and positive. Eve saw the fruit was pleasing to the eyes and desirable to make one wise. She and Adam willingly ignored their Creator's word and ate the fruit. The consequence for mankind was devastating, as all of us, save one, are born slaves to sin, death, and the power of the devil. The evidence of this slavery is quite clear. As the apostle goes on to write, "Now the works of the flesh are quite evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, evil, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. But thanks be to God, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom you have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. The Son has made you free, and you are free indeed." But freedom always comes with a price. Just as our forefathers paid a great price to bring about our independence as a nation, so also a great price was paid for our eternal freedom. Jesus sacrificed Himself on the cross. The sinless Son of God, the sinless Lamb of God, gave himself over to death in order to pay the price for our freedom. He has redeemed us, lost and condemned people, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and innocent suffering and death. His death is not merely an historical event. It has consequences for us today. Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This is the significance of our baptism. As Paul writes in Romans, our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. We have died with Christ in our baptism, so that we might live anew with him. We are no longer slaves, but brothers and sisters of Christ, children of God. And as his adopted children, we are heirs to eternal life along with Christ. If we are truly free, then how ought we live out our freedom in the world? We live in a society and world that understands freedom to mean doing what is right in one's own eyes. Yet that is not freedom. Instead, we call that license. A license to pursue the works of the flesh, especially in matters of sexual conduct and social behavior. God does not intend for us, his children, to live that way. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. And again, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Thus, the law still informs us and guides our lives. It helps us to understand what it means for us to love God with all our soul, heart, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. It shows us how love ought to act in this world of sin. Like our national freedom, our freedom in Christ requires constant vigilance on our part. Stand fast, the apostle says. Do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. The Christian life is one of struggle. Our enemies, the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh, seek to deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. We must be on guard against these enemies. We must not allow ourselves a false sense of security. They are relentless in their goal to destroy our faith in Christ. We cannot fight them by our own strength, but we must seek our strength and protection in the Spirit of Christ. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So writes Paul. The Spirit is our helper whom Christ sends. He dwells in our hearts and there struggles against the flesh on our behalf. He grows within us and bears living fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And in this way, he prepares us to be in the world, yet not of the world. The Spirit uses our freedom and guides us to love our neighbor, including our enemies, and thus fulfill the law. The Spirit also equips us with the armor of God. He is our one true protection against our enemies, and with his help, we wield the sword of the Spirit, that is, the Word of God. Just as our Lord and Savior relied upon the Word of God to resist temptation and overcome the devil, So too we depend on that same word in our struggles in this world. As with any struggle, our enemies may succeed in making us stumble and fall. All of us have had experience these times of failure and sin. When that happens, we don't give up and say, "What's the use?" Instead, we seek consolation, comfort, and renewed strength in the cross. For there in the cross is God's wisdom. There in the cross is God's strength. There in the cross is God's comfort and forgiveness. This is what we proclaim today as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. The forgiveness of sins, life and salvation that Christ has earned for us and has given to us freely through his death and resurrection. Yes, the Lord is faithful and just. All who come to him in repentance, he will forgive. Jesus invites all who are weary and heavy laden to come to him, and he shall give them rest. He will answer the earnest prayer, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." You know the truth, and the truth has made you free. However, there are many people out in the world, family members, co-workers, friends, neighbors, who do not know this truth. They live in spiritual darkness and are ignorant of their condition. The Declaration of Independence was meant for all. Everyone needed to hear that message. Some ignored it as useless. Others rejected it out of fear. Still others fought against it on account of their loyalty to the crown. This did not deter the signers and supporters. They continued to make it known far and wide. The gospel, the freedom that it proclaims, is much more important than the Declaration of Independence, which only speaks of freedom from earthly tyranny. The gospel proclaims freedom from spiritual tyranny, the spiritual tyranny that leads to death and hell. Jesus describes us as a city on a hill or a light upon a lampstand. In fact, he says, "You are the light of the world." We who believe in the gospel are light bearers. Jesus bids us to bring the light of the gospel to those who are sitting in darkness so that they may hear that sweet message of freedom in Christ. Yes, there will be those who ignore the good news, reject it, or even fight against it, and against us. Yet we ought never be silent concerning the one thing needful. Indeed, there is no better way to celebrate our true freedom than to let others know about the one who has given it to us. In many ways, we are like the Liberty Bell, ringing out to all around us the precious freedom found in Jesus Christ. Let us remember and give thanks to God for the true and lasting freedom he has given us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Please rise.